Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Check the For You app for more deals.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad. And I tried to come at it gently. The first thing in his bio was he was born in 1952. And if my grandpappy's on Twitter roasting somebody, I hope they handle him gently. And I tried to.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
Yeah, all three of us would have been like drinking through a tube right now, telling our wives like, hey, really great to see you.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
What I think about Caleb Williams. The first thing that jumped off the tape to me is his ability to throw on the move, right? I didn't think USC protected him that great this season. I thought he had to generate a lot of plays outside the pocket, outside of structure. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I thought he was extremely accurate when he was on the move.
With Bernstein and Holmes.
You can kind of see how this marriage is coming together, where there's a lot of traits on tape that you can see that are going to carry over, cross over.
On 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Tim Jenkins is on Twitter at TJenkinsElite, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm pumped up to be back.
Well, here's my question. Before we get to what the Bears will do, might do, what Shane Waldron has done, what I want to know from you right now, if you were coordinating this offense and game planning and you had these toys and they said, look, it's all you. You can design the game plan, the philosophy, the sequencing. What would you do?
Letting it rip. I mean, I don't think there's like the thing that I think is going to be interesting is to see what carries over from like the traditional NFL, right? The, hey, we're going to get under center. We want to run outside zone. We want to boot. We want to do all this stuff that's kind of famous in this offense to, like you said, the personnel that they have, right? I just think it's the receiving core is a little ridiculous to not, I mean, you almost want to exclusively be in 10, right? Or some form of it, right? I think there's also a lot of situations to me where it's like I would pound the table. We used to call it like aught one, right? Well, I would pound the table to be in 4 wide, 1 tight end, right? And I'd motion DJ Moore back in the backfield or so Rome what, or
is
whoever.
Is that 0-1 or 1?
Yeah, it's 0-1, right? Okay, you just have 4 receivers, 1 tight end, no back, and motion DJ back there if you want to run the ball, right? I think like anytime you watch DJ Moore – with a tunnel screen, like you can see how he would relate to outside zone or toss. You know, I don't think that's like revolutionary. So to me, there'd be a ton of different personnel groups that I would be getting in that would make, I think, defensive coordinators, it'd be a nightmare because, you know, you see 1 tight end and 4 receivers in the game and you think to yourself, okay, hey, I'm going to get really light in the box. And then all of a sudden, if you just line up with somebody in the backfield and you run it at them, like there's not a lot you can do if, you know, a tight end's climbing up to your secondary and, you know, who's supposed to be a linebacker is now all of a sudden a DB. So to me, it would be a lot of personnel groupings. I think Caleb, obviously, you watch his film and you think to yourself, man, there are so many things I can do with him. I do think I think as exciting as he is on tape, you still have to ease him into the NFL and not like, hey, let's just go ahead and make everything so complex and hard on the kid. Because at the end of the day, he is still going from the Pac-12, right, to an NFL defense, which are drastically different things from just a schematic standpoint of all the different looks they can give you. So I do think there's, you know, still things that we have to ease him into the NFL game. What I will tell you, though, is if you get super creative formationally and personnel grouping, you then limit the defense, right? So just play it through in 10 personnel. You don't see that much true 10, right? One back, no tight end, four receivers in the league. You really don't see that much of it. So defensive call sheets will be limited against that group, right? So to me, there are certain ways that you can kind of simplify the defensive looks he's going to get based on what group we have out there and then formationally what we give them.
When you broke down Caleb Williams, you were able to kind of give us a glimpse of what the Shane Waldron concepts, whether they can be married to what it is that Caleb Williams does. So when you went through the film, can you share with the folks that listen to The Score on how this might work with those two guys?
Yeah, I think the first thing that's so boring to hear about but jumps off is the quick game. Like, Shane does a really good job. He did a really great job of putting Geno in a position to play on time a majority of the times the ball hits him in the hand, right? Which is what you want as a quarterback. You don't want, you know, we all get excited about the deep ones and the downfield shots, and we get excited about that. But 60% of the game, hopefully, is, hey, I'm playing on time and in rhythm, right? So he did a really good job of, you know, those first and 10 plays or those P&10, possession and 10, where it's like we're moving our feet forward, right? I thought that was great. You saw Seahawks, their quick game. And then USC, I mean, it was like there were certain teams they played. You know, they came up here, played CU and Boulder, and it was like they saw so much off coverage that Caleb just took, you know, the underneath nonstop, and he was on time the whole time. So I think quick game jumped off at you. The ability to kind of isolate a receiver backside, which is what I think this Bears team has almost unlimited matchups doing. Like, just imagine for a second, right? Keenan Allen's the number two receiver to your left. DJ Moore's the number one receiver outside. You got two guys to the right, and you motion DJ Moore across the formation. You've gone from a balanced look, 2x2, to all of a sudden 3x1, and guess what? You're now slot player, was on Keenan Allen, but now he's isolated backside one-on-one in a true who you would want to be your bona fide corner, but you're probably going to run your corner across with DJ Moore. So now all of a sudden you've got these backside shots, and I think they can get to it so creatively. I think we'll see a lot of what DK Metcalf was doing for the Seahawks, but you almost have two or three guys now with the Bears that can do it. So you're going to be able to get to those more creatively to create better matchups, which to me, USC did a ton of those isolated shots. And then the last thing too that I like really, really enjoyed is kind of a nuance of the game, which is the high red. So not the true money zone, right? Not the true red zone where it's 20 and in, but that high red zone, right? 20 to kind of 35 yard line. The Seahawks were notorious for crossing midfield and taking a high red shot towards the end zone. And it worked out a lot. And USC did that a ton too. So those are little things where I think Caleb will feel comfortable with high red shots, whereas some quarterbacks who come from a different college offense, right, they're conservative in that because, hey, there's a field goal potential, right? So you're a little more conservative. But he's played for an aggressive play caller from the high red, and I think Shane, you know, really fits that as well.
That's often a tight end skinny post seam route. Is Gerald Everett up to that task?
I think so. I mean, I think it's like so hard for me with the Bears right now because if I'm being honest, it's like you just look at their receiving group, right? You look at the receivers now and it's like hard for me to kind of get off of them, right? They're just like, to me, I think that they're such an exciting group. But then, yeah, you look at Gerald. I think Cole still, I think he's a heck of a player. I think there's like, they're just going to be able to get to so many different things. And we haven't even really touched on DeAndre coming over, right? So you have the Swift kid who I think is good out of the backfield, right? So it's like, I don't know. I think the personnel groupings are dang near unlimited. I think the challenge is going to be is to not get too crazy, right? I think you look at all these weapons and you start going like, hey, I'm going to have a personnel grouping for this, 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 and I'm going to have plays for this, this, this. And that's, it's not the easiest thing on planet Earth because you sit there and you go, okay, hey, when we're in twins right, you know, we got three receivers to the right, one backside to the left, right? Let's say that's the verbiage they're using. That you're going to have to use a different T word if you're then in a different personnel grouping, which is that's going to be the challenge, is if you overcomplicate it with the personnel groupings and all these things and formationally, that's a ton on Caleb, especially if, you know, he's not necessarily the most used to being in a huddle and these sorts of things. So that's the hesitation. I think the tight ends are up to getting down the middle of the field. What I will tell you, though, is I don't know. I just think formationally you have three guys in that receiving group who really could play outside as a one, but shoot, you move them down the slot and it's like, I don't know who you match up. If you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen on the same side, I really genuinely have no idea who you're going to play where. Like, I don't know how you roll a safety down to one of those guys. You bring your corner over, then all of a sudden, you know, the young kid's backside. It's a nightmare.
When you look at Caleb Williams, like, obviously everything is really impressive, but you've worked with high school, college, pro quarterbacks. What is the thing that no matter what they do, he won't be ready for when he starts out in the pros? Or is there a way to get him ready for that thing that you're worried about?
Yeah, a lot of it you'll have to try to cure through walkthrough. The number one thing he's not going to be ready for is how good defenders are at disguising, right? Like college guys, I used to joke about this. You walk up to the line of scrimmage in college and you see that linebacker and he's just standing perfectly still. It's like, you know, he's blitzing, right? Like, it's not like these guys are bad actors at the college level. You know, they sit there and it's like they do everything to make you think they're not coming. And that's how you know they're coming, right? I mean, to me, it's like the college game is so different. Pros, these guys have been in the league. They've seen everything. They know how to make it seem like, you know, corner cat is coming, and in reality, we're just in cover two, right? They know how to make those things look identical. That's going to be his hardest adjustment. The thing that I tell you, the only worry I have from Caleb at all when I was watching his games doing that Bears video is I do think there's a time and a place to be hyper aggressive with the football, and then there's also a time where we are going to have to. We put the ball in harm's way not, you know, infrequently, right? Now, part of that, I think, is he's trying to come back against certain teams. Like, you're trying to come back against Notre Dame, or you're trying to come back against Oregon or Washington. Like, those are tough situations to be in as a quarterback, right? You're going to push a little bit more. But what I will say is that would be my only thing that I think, you know, I don't think he's going to come into the league and it's going to be a, you know, single digit interception year. I do think his first year, he's going to throw some picks. It's going to come from, hey, let me test, you know, this or that. Let me test my arm ability here. And I think that's okay. That's why they took him number one overall, right?
Right. He's got to calibrate that anyway.
Yeah. And he's going to, and it's not even just him, right? The Broncos get the Bo Nix kid. He's going to have to do it too, right? Everybody's going to have to do it. I just think Caleb, that's what the only thing that I would tell you was worried some at all about me for tape. But what I'll tell you is, what we're going from with Justin and kind of what I think, and I don't think this is Justin's fault. I think it's what the coaching staff got him to with being so careful with the football. I do think it's going to be a nice change of pace, having Shane calling the plays and then Caleb pushing the ball down the field.
It seems fashionable among some elements of Bears fandom right now, Tim, to say, okay, well, this is all great. You got all these skill position guys, but what about the offensive line? When I hear you talk about the quick game and talk about the amount of talent, to what extent do you think it does obviate any line issues?
A ton, right? Because you know how it is. If we hit you with three screens, or if we hit you with a tunnel and a quick game and then two screens, and you're a D end and your first two plays you got cut down and now you're worried about your knees for the rest of your career, and then the next two you think you have a free run at it, and guess what? We throw a screen behind you. Like, you're a bad rusher at that point. Right. I think a lot of it has to come down to play sequencing. I think if they get into camp and they realize, listen, we can't hold up that well on 5 and 7 step drops, they're going to have to sequence it differently to where when we take shots, we move the pocket a little bit. Here's what I'll tell you. Seattle, I don't think they protected Geno well. They were still able to generate shots. They moved the launch point a lot, which is part of what you love about Caleb. You watch him on the move and then you go, oh, hey, Shane likes to move the launch point. If we're not doing a good job protecting, hey, that's a perfect marriage, right? Between moving off that, sprinting out or selling boot. And there's a lot of stuff that carries over well. So they're just gonna have to move the launch point a little bit if they feel like they can't hold up, and they're gonna have to get it out in quick game. They're gonna have to cut some people down. But the second you start doing stuff like that, DN, stop wanting to rush. Like this, the NFL is highly complicated and then not complicated at all at the same time. If you're in the regular season, you're cutting people down and you're doing a lot of stuff that all of a sudden they're like, listen, I need 12 sacks this year to hit my incentive. I'm not gonna keep doing this, right? Like there's certain things that you can do to help slow down a rush, and they're gonna just have to do that this season.
What did you think of Roma Dunze on tape?
I watched the Penix kid, obviously, who I really liked his game. I feel bad for where he went, right? Because now there's like this, like everybody's trashing the pick. I thought he was a good player. I liked watching him. I'm going to be honest with you. I think there are a few guys that you turn on in college and you can just tell they're different, and the way they go compete for the football, he was one of them. We talked a lot last year about DJ Moore and how he's a football player, right? He doesn't seem like a receiver. He seems like a genuine football player. Rome to me seems like cut from the exact same cloth, which I just really enjoy, because I watch tape from a quarterback's perspective, right? And the thing that you want to see is you want to see a big 6'3 guy go up and get the football for you if you give him a chance. And he did that. And I think when you have guys like DJ and him, you are so much more confident in giving them a chance because you know they're a football player. They're going to go try to make a play for you. And I mean, he just did that in spades. And I think, you know, obviously Penix, it helps that he played with a good quarterback last year. So there's certain things that you do with a good quarterback, or that you probably start to see when you play with a good quarterback, that at least now he's going to be caught up when he sees Caleb, versus if you would have drafted him from, you know, Fort Lewis when Tim Jenkins was there. Hey, you got a lot to teach him, because I was probably just, you know, throwing ankle biters at him that he had to go save me on. So to me, it's like, I don't know. I think he's a heck of a pick, and I'm excited to see how those two grow together early in their career.
Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. Wait, you got any camps coming to Chicago this summer or what?
Nothing in Chicago, but we do have 5 coming across the country. So if anyone's up for a little travel, we would love to have them.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Y'all are the best. I appreciate you.
That's Tim Jenkins. That's our OC. We will talk about the White Sox next.
You know what? No, don't do that. We are going to talk with James Fegan
about the White Sox.
But people want to hear from James Fegan.
Right, we're excited to talk to James Fegan.
Yes.
Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sox Machine.
James Fegan, White Sox reporter for SoxMachine.com.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
Yes, James.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. I'd check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
Talk White Sox with James Fegan. He is on Twitter at JR Fegan. White Sox beat writer at SoxMachine.com is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Well, that was a fun little win streak they had. Three in a row, feeling good before reality came back. What do we make of that little spasm of competence?
I have not performed a stat head search for like worst starts of all time in a little bit. And I think it's a breath of fresh air to not consider historical inadequacy and more just prepare for a more run of the mill rebuilding season that isn't featuring a ton of rebuilding at the major league level, but maybe is just more typically what we expected out of this team this year.
When I was watching the game last night, I'm seeing Garrett Crochet and he was doing fine. And I'm like, 77 pitches, five innings, maybe one more inning. If he gets into trouble, you go to the bullpen. Why did Pedro take him out of yesterday's game?
Your position definitely aligns with Garrett's feelings on the matter. Essentially that they're in uncharted waters as far as his usage. I wrote it last night. I should remember. He cleared his start. How many innings he threw last year? Two starts ago. So as like kind of part and parcel with this idea of ramping him up all the way to a full year of starting after, you know, not having anything resembling the innings pace or the sort of year you build up upon starting at all, is that they're going to pill him an inning short generally when they can. And having Brad Keller up to kind of pitch two innings because he's going to drop into rotation probably the next turn was kind of the situation of, we can do this and we can get through a normal outing and not tax our short relievers crazily by doing it. And so they jumped on it. But as far as like from that actual game, signs of Garrett tiring, I don't think anything's been. There really hasn't really been signs of Garrett tiring all season. I mean, his velocity was up last night, and it's been up really all season. So it's this kind of, because they don't have a roadmap for this, they're just going to pull early when they see opportunities to periodically over the course of the year.
I've been thinking a lot about that because this isn't the first time that we've heard the White Sox organizationally do this. They've done it with other players, one that's on the roster right now with Michael Kopech. How do they know that that's the right approach instead of allowing the strength to be gained by allowing the pitcher to pitch and maybe fatigue and then get stronger? Like, I know that that's a much bigger question of baseball overall, but it just seems like it's a weird way to go about this when you're projecting someone out to be a starter.
I don't think they do know it's the right approach, and I think that's part of kind of the mystery of this whole thing, is that they haven't, you know, even Kopech built up after like a full bullpen year, and you could see like you can map it out a bit more than, you know, this is a guy who basically didn't throw or really have a season last year in any meaningful way. I mean, he threw 25 innings through minors and majors, and most of that was like rehab stints more than anything else. So I think it's kind of uncertainty about how they're doing it. Maybe a little comparison I might offer would be like Casey Mize a couple years ago with the Tigers. Like in the second half, they would have him like throw three innings starts like periodically. So it's really kind of speculative at this point. It's not like this is something they can point to as what they're doing and that they're following a previously consistent models. But I think that's probably where some of the hesitance come from, of like not knowing where it is.
Yeah.
Garrett's definitely of the standpoint of like, I wish I could just throw and then we respond to when I have fatigue or symptoms or something like that. But that's they're trying not to run into that.
It's also, for me at least, like we're now what, 5 starts in for him? Like
7
starts in for him. Like, to me, this is something that would happen more in July or August, when it's August and you're going, okay, he's at 135 innings. Let's just call it that. So yeah, maybe we could pull back a little bit. But when it's April, and it was a gorgeous night last night, so it's not even one of those things where, like, ah, it's cold out there, we don't want him to tighten up. It just seems a little bit strange. I wish I understood better, like, kind of where they're coming from. And I understand them trying to be safe. It just always feels like it might be science that they're behind instead of in front of.
I think their standpoint, and I think it's similar with Nastrini or Cannon or other young pitchers, that they don't want to have to back off in the second half. They'd rather finish through. They'd rather pump the brakes now early in the season with the idea of hope that they can, like, basically make 30 starts. They'd rather have, you know, full season starters and some of them shorter than he hits a wall in August and we have to break off. You know, the early season comp was Carlos Rodon, in terms of like someone who didn't really have a platform year. And Rodon was somebody who, you know, hit a wall in that 2021 second half when they ramped him up. So I think they're hoping that if they are softer on the front end, then he can finish a full season and, you know, have a more typical build up to a real full starter season next year.
Why Tommy Pham? I don't really understand it. Even if he's, you know, better than Dominic Fletcher, what's the point? What's the point for this team of a guy who makes you a little bit better now? How does that get you ostensibly closer to winning a championship?
On a brass tacks level, they just want to build up some trade assets and flip them at the deadline, and then they figure they'll have 2 months to do the young guy tryout kind of approach to their roster, even more in the final, you know, stretch of the season. On a more philosophical, existential level, they were wary of having like this team that's just full of prospects that are, you know, flaming out or running, banging their head in the wall, and they're losing a bunch of games and there's no purpose. And they were kind of wary. They felt that like the 2017-2019 seasons, they're just hard rebuilding. They're just losing all the time. They didn't feel like that, you know, built the aggressive atmosphere, or, you know, that team, when it was time for them to contend, didn't respond well. So they want to kind of consistently have a competitive team, or a team that's focused on winning or doing the right things and putting people in real situations during this down period. Now, that's ironic because this is like the worst Sox team we've ever seen in this entire span. Yeah. And kind of slapping these veterans on hasn't really taken, but that was kind of the philosophical approach of like, we don't want to just have the idea that we're just hard tanking and we're not trying to win, or we're not, you know, putting guys in there who are really competitive. But it's kind of obviously now a mixed bag with, you know, this team is trying to duck 120 losses with the way they started early on.
It just smacks of like a La Russa thing, right? With like Pham, and now Ortega is up, and you've got these guys are okay. They belong in the major leagues, but I'm wondering here, like, where does Chris Getz end and La Russa begin? And it's got to be weird because now there's no countervailing voices for any whim that Jerry Reinsdorf may have.
I mean, that might always be true,
right?
In terms of the organization, I like. On a vacuum, or in a vacuum, not on a vacuum, saying like Dominic Fletcher looked overwhelmed in his first like couple weeks because like his plate, the swing decisions went bad and he's striking out 30% of the time and they wanted to reset. Like, it's not crazy. Saying, especially with Nastrini, with his velocity being down and his delivery kind of looking out of whack, putting him in Charlotte, it's not crazy. It's just kind of in the macro of looking like, hey, we've got a team where everyone's over 30 now and we're 17 games under 500. What are we kind of doing here? Like, I don't think they're making bad individual decisions as far as prospect development. I don't think they're necessarily just holding people down that, you know, would flourish here or better off here necessarily. And but it's just in the aggregate, it's like, what are we accomplishing with this group? Which is hard to pin down when you're 6-23 and you know, you're trying to get Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman to start a ninth inning rally.
What is Andrew Benintendi tinkering with?
Being bad.
Pulling the ball more, ideally. That's the way Pedro Grifol phrased it. I was actually surprised seeing you know, Saris today saying that, like, he's one of the biggest barrel rate risers from last season. Now, obviously, he's working off a low point from last season, but it at least heightens the idea a little bit that he's driving the ball a bit more in the way that we would see, you know, play out over those last couple of days. But he was just kind of fighting everything off to the to left field early in the season. And, you know, Pedro said that's kind of a method he uses to keep closed with his front shoulder. But I think we had obviously reached a point where he was overdoing it since he was slugging under 200 entering that Rays series. And now it's trying to let it fly a little bit more when he gets pitches on the inner half, which he's going to because he hasn't necessarily had the last year and a half where people are afraid of challenging him on the inner half. And, but showing that he can pull and drive the ball there would, you know, do a little bit to pull him out of the hole he started out with. You know, he had another hit yesterday. I wouldn't quite say we've seen him clearly locked in since Saturday, but I think if an organization is already inclined to try to get a guy who they owe probably over $55 million still to get going, they've probably seen enough to say, you know, we trust there's some sign of the right direction here.
I get that the Twins have won 8 in a row, but just eye test stuff, and I haven't even looked at the peripherals. I don't think they're good, James. Do you think they're good?
Their offense certainly is very questionable. I like their pitching depth a bit more going into the season, but I don't think we've seen, other than him blanking the White Sox, Chris Paddock maybe be as good as they thought he was going to be. And, you know, Bailey Ober is someone who, you know, had one really disastrous start that made me worried, but I think in general is a solid guy and not just someone who dominates the White Sox. But yeah, I think, you know, I probably when they let some of the people they let walk, I was thinking like they got tons of infield depth. They have Royce Lewis, they have Brooks Lee, they can trade poor Jorge Polanco. They can afford that sort of thing. Brooks Lee has like herniated disc in his back, which is a lovely thing to have in your early 20s. You know, Royce Lewis has another, you know, soft tissue injury. It's not looking nearly like they have the same level of offensive reinforcements that they, you know, thought they were going to be, which is surprising that, you know, the one thing I didn't think they're going to do is be able to run Byron Buxton out there in center field every day and not have any issues. And that hasn't been the problem yet. But you kind of wonder if it's coming at some point, but they really have not had the kind of complete offense that I thought they would be to be in contention. But at the same time, to think that they're not going to be a playoff contender requires me to like believe wholeheartedly in the Guardians being juggernauts, and I don't think I can quite get there with the injuries they've taken to their pitching.
See, it's opinions like that that are going to get you placed on the hater list.
Oh, would you stop?
You don't want to be on there.
Just stop.
I think it's not. We know how that's going down now because the team that is 6-23 that they're taking names. Apparently, the new Hawk Harrelson has taken names.
Don't put James in that position.
Should I be worried?
I don't know.
Probably not. You're a tough guy.
I think you're good.
I think you're going to be fine. I think anyone who steps to James Fegan, you know,
they got the issues.
No, they got problems. Like, you don't want them problems. Chance the Rapper told you everything you needed to know about James Fegan. You don't want those problems with him.
I was born in Kenwood, so I guess I can claim like Southside. I don't think Chance is talking about me, man. I don't think.
You should claim it and just be like, man, Southside, stand up.
Man, look at the time.
Bye, James. See ya. Zach's machine.
Zach's machine.
That's James Fegan.
Double machine.
When we return. Our favorite non-Bears rookie.
He's our favorite non-Bear.
The gift that keeps on giving.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
No, we can empower each other. Y'all have a great day. Yeah, I can grab some of them.
Keon Coleman's world, we're all living in it. So he's got to be from Louisiana, right?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's New Orleans proper, but you can hear the Louisiana.
Whether it's him discussing about how to shop at Macy's two seasons ahead to get the least expensive winter coat. Like
how,
his mom
how has
taught
Macy's
him,
not already put him in a commercial?
How have I not brought him to Mariano's with me so we can walk around and get the expiring meat and the day-old baked goods and all that stuff? He and I could have a field day together.
I agree.
And then he was eating the snacks that were there for the media.
Well, he asked first.
Yeah. Can I get some of that? And then he split a cookie with one of the reporters.
Yeah.
And then I saw something yesterday about the cold. They have like the cryo freeze thing.
Yeah, the cold room.
And he went to the cold room. He's like, I froze my pants.
He's like, you got a coat.
My pants are frozen.
All right, so what do we got from him today, Studs?
So this is from before he was drafted. And I don't know the context of how he got into this, but he's talking about a pregame meal that he would have from McDonald's.
But like, we play like a 4 o'clock game or something, too hot and spicy with cheese, extra mayo, we got medium fry, all your McFlurry, and a 10-piece nugget.
So that would be his pregame meal.
All right, two hot and spicy McChickens with cheese and extra mayo. An Oreo McFlurry, a 10-piece nuggets.
Medium Oreo McFlurry.
And medium fries.
And how does that square with a Dan Bernstein McDonald's order? Like, is that not enough? Is that on the level of...
I don't think it's
enough for a guy who probably burns calories like nobody's business.
Yeah, that doesn't
at
sound...
At this point in his life.
He's eating it before he plays a football game, though.
Yeah, and thing is, the hot and spicy McChicken... Like, the actual non-spicy McChicken, just the black pepper on it, is... pretty spicy. The hot and spicy.
Flavorful.
The hot and spicy is really spicy.
Look, Chad Ochocinco did this before every game. And I think every day he ate breakfast at McDonald's.
And he had a sit down at a McDonald's with Zach Zaidman, right?
With Zach.
Warren Buffett
before
eats
the game.
McDonald's breakfast every day.
It's delicious. That's the one
and
thing.
Warren Buffett's 95.
That's the one thing that I was really sad about. Because that was on my list this weekend, and I just never got around to going. And I'm like, McDonald's breakfast.
That's why it should be all day. Should be all day.
Ray,
bring it back.
Ray,
you are
speaking my language. I know that during the pandemic, they kind of changed things around, and I get it. All day breakfast needs to return. It just needs to. Like, we've got short shows, what, Thursday and Friday?
That's right, Cubs baseball.
Could you imagine getting out here at 11 o'clock and being like, Sausage McMuffin? By the way, Sausage McMuffin, elite. Used to be a sausage biscuit guy. No more. Sausage McMuffin, elite.
I'm basic.
It doesn't get more basic than the Sausage McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin.
You do the Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin.
Okay.
Standard Egg McMuffin. Usually two eggs McMuffin and a hash brown.
You know what I've started to do with the
Jason
hash browns?
Jason likes that McGriddle thing.
Oh, I love the McGriddle.
Oh, the McGriddle. You got to make a sandwich out of the McGriddle.
It is a sandwich.
No, no. Instead of the muffin, you use the McGriddles, and you make a sandwich like a sausage.
Oh, you make a
sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle.
Oh,
in there,
it's a thing.
Or we just finally get enough Hardee's to open around here.
No, McDonald's. So my new thing with the hash browns is I now eat the hash browns like at a restaurant.
Huh?
Crush them up, a little butter, a little salt.
Ooh, look at you getting fancy with the McDonald's hash browns.
That's a pro move. I'm telling
Clearly.
You.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Like, you get the, because, you know, you're going to, they smell so good, and you're like, I'm going to just rip into these. Yes. Uh-uh. You get them home. You get a couple of them, throw them down, crush them up with a fork, a little bit of butter, a little bit of salt, pepper if you want.
How about a little garlic powder?
Sure.
Okay.
Pro move.
And
what
eat
a pro
it,
wants,
eat it
what
with
a, pro
a fork.
Needs.
I'm telling you. It's good stuff.
What if I still want to eat it with my fingers?
Then feel free.
Okay.
But basically what we're saying is that Keon Coleman should come and hang out with us, and then we should go to McDonald's, and then McDonald's should bring back all day breakfast.
I want a Keon Coleman action figure, I think.
Oh, me too. There is more. So that was his McDonald's pregame order. He also has a Waffle House order.
Is either that or we get a Waffle House?
And what's your Waffle House order?
Sausage, egg, and cheese, gribble, full eggs, scrambled cheese, a side of pork chops, hash brown with cheese, and a high C.
Okay.
There we
so
go.
So you get your hash browns with cheese, nothing else.
Oh, yeah. What else you gonna put on?
Ham, onions. You scatter. Onions. You scatter well.
Cover and smother, man.
Yeah. Smother, cover, dice, chop.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Ain't
there's
none
a
of
whole,
that.
Whole language.
We putting cheese on that, mixing that up and eating it. That's what we doing. You know people don't know Waffle House got pork chop.
Yeah.
People didn't know that, though.
They didn't know that sometimes.
Because they're looking at the menu. You just gotta know.
So you get your hash browns scattered well. You know what that is? Just cooked a
I like
hash.
Mine a little light burnt. I don't like mine brown. All okay. burnt. That's burnt.
I ain't trying to tell you how to order it.
And apparently, to add on to this, on the quote tweet that I saw where I found this video, the person said, Keon Coleman said he was at a Waffle House so much he had the cook's number pinned in his messages.
He said that. He Perfect. Said that. That he knew the cook at the Waffle House. And, I mean, come on.
We knew the cooks at our Waffle House. We went dressed as the two Waffle House cooks for Franklin Street, University of North Carolina, big Halloween parade party. My friend Scott and I went as... Was it Jeff and Dave, the two Waffle House chefs? And everybody knew, like, you're the guys from that Waffle House. They're like, yeah, we are.
That's top notch. Shout out to Keon Coleman.
So quickly, you said that you were unclear about where he's from in Louisiana,
yes.
right? Opelousas, I think
that's
is
right.
how you pronounce it. A small city and the parish seat of St. Landry Parish.
That's what I
Louisiana.
Figured that he wasn't from it. It's not quite New Orleans, but it might as well be that. The way he sounds.
Right. Population 15,786, a 6.53% decline since the 2010 census. Thanks, Wikipedia.
When he was talking to
Just
about
north
the Macy's
Lafayette.
Thing, he
yep.
was like, I take you. I was like, that's Louisiana all day. Mm-hmm. All day. It's Louisiana. I think that's the best accent in America, by the way.
Do you think he knows the Popeyes lady?
Well, Popeyes started down there, and until Katrina, there was a Super Popeyes.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What's a Super Popeyes?
So right there in Metairie, it might still be, like the sign might still be there because it's really tall. Super Popeyes, you see the Popeye face?
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
Popeyes got on a sombrero.
A sombrero.
This is some bootleg ass.
No, it was the Super Popeyes, and it's basically a Popeyes cantina.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
They need to start that.
You can get some chicken. You get a little bit of Mexican food. You can get drinks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember going down there, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's a Super Popeyes! Let's go!" And now I don't think it's there anymore. You looking it up now?
Is this
I'll find you the picture.
Is it like the KFC that had the buffets?
It's like the Taco Bell like cantinas okay. now, where it's like a little
all
higher.
Right. All right, we gotta go. We gotta go. They got Nico coming up, so we gotta.
All right, yeah. Parking to Spiegel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.